Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. God put a message in my heart, moved me so much that I want to share it with you this morning. And let's start with verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That means a ministry of that which was at one time enmity against humanity is now a friend with humanity, which would be God. How many follow what I'm saying? He has commissioned us to receive a message that which is at one time was going to have to judge the entire world, he has now accomplished the ability to make the world a friend of him. It's powerful. Now let's go on. He explains what it is, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Notice this, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's powerful. We'll be covering more of the understanding of that next Wednesday, the Lord willing. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now this is a very powerful passage when you start looking at these verses. But these verses are predicated on one thing that I want you to focus in real close. I want us to go up two verses, verse 16 and 17. Two verses. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to see the hands of those of you that are born again. That's just about everyone in this place. Keep your hands up. John, get up here with a piece of paper and pencil and mark dots where their hands are not up. And then we're going to have an altar call just for them. Praise God. I see your hand, Sam. I see your hand, Sam. Praise God. I like that little guy, man. He wants to make sure I see his hand. Hallelujah. Now, notice what he says real quick, like. He talks about knowing no man after the flesh. He talked about not even knowing Christ after the flesh. You know, that was a powerful statement coming from a converted Jew. Because the Jewish religion only understood Christ after the flesh. They didn't know him after the Spirit. How many follow what I'm saying? He says that eliminates all nationalities. That eliminates all culture, religions. It eliminates everything and boils it down to one thing. A new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He says, Jews, even though you've known him after the flesh, you cannot know him no more after that. Even though you have known Christ after that which was natural, you have to abandon that. Why? Because you've got to now center in on what I call the new birth, the new creation that God has made you. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. How many are following what I'm saying? And so when a man or a woman gets born again, They're born from above, and now they have a complete new life that they are now to follow. Amen. I like to look at it this way. When we first got born again, we got delivered from the land of Egypt. We got delivered from that land. But here's the problem. When we got delivered from the land of Egypt, we still have a lot of Egypt in us. And in order for us to get rid of this Egypt, we have to be doing something, and I call it marching forward. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to talk very frank with you today about some issues that you need to look at, and if the shoe fits, wear it. You need to do something with your life in God. Hallelujah. It is important. So, real quick, like, turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet know we him no more. We've got a whole new life. We're now ambassadors of a different world. Amen? We have been born again. You know what that means? It means you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You now are subject to an entirely different lifestyle. Praise God. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 2, the nation of Israel made a decision to go and search the land of Canaan. They wanted to search it out. And so it says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And of every tribe of every father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And so you know the story. They went out, they sent all these different men, sent them out. They searched the land, and they came back, and they had a negative report. And one of the things that they started talking about is the inhabitants of this land. They said that when we went into this land and we saw the inhabitants there, yeah, we brought back these clusters of grapes, but you should see the guys that eat these things. Yeah. I meant, hey, that place, hey, I'm telling you right now, we got to go into that place and we got to take that. No way! No way! Except for two people. Now, that's pretty good odds against roughly, maybe possibly up to 7 million Jews. God had two out of the whole bunch that said, we're more than well and able to take the land. Let us go on in and let's do it immediately. You know, that was the wisdom of God. Did you know that if you're given some time to think about what you got to do for God, most of the time you talk yourself out of doing it. You know, we need to deal a blow to ourselves and be impatient. When God says do something, don't be patient about it. Be impatient. Do it. Hallelujah. Why? We got a soul that wants to talk against the knowledge of God every time. Why? Reasonings. Yeah. And so they send these spies in there, and we know the story. We had a little lady called Rahab, which was not a Jew, by the way, in the heroes of faith to line up. Yeah. And so what she does, she sets these men on top of the roof because there was a report to the king that some people came on in there. And you know something, we never think about this, but did you know that the inhabitants of Canaan, did you know that they knew very well the Jewish nation was coming their direction? You know, it's in the Bible. I don't have time to go in and show you the verses, but they knew that they were headed their way. They did. And we find through little Rahab that she not only heard of God, she believed that he was God. That's why she was preserved or saved when Jericho was taken out. And so when these spies went in there, she hit them up on her rooftop where she was making rope because she got out of the profession of being a harlot, and she started making rope for her living. And so she hided them under the flax of the stalks that were drying out on the rooftop. And when they had left, when they asked if the spies were there, and she said no, she lied in honor of God. Hallelujah. And so she said no. They went to, and she ran up there. And you know what she did? The spies, when they came out of the land, they said, they're giants. You should see these guys. And we were grasshoppers in their sight. Notice, we were grasshoppers in their sight. How did they know that? How did they know that?
Did they walk up to one of the giants and knock on his kneecap? Tonk, 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 tonk. And have that giant look down at him and says, what do you think of us? Oh, you're a grasshopper. No, you know where they got that mentality? They saw the size of the giants and they looked back at themselves. You know what they were doing? They were regarding themselves in face of their adversity according to themselves after the flesh. They were looking to themselves after their own flesh, their own ability. But Joshua and Caleb, no, not them. No, 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 no. They weren't looking after them giants according to them. They were looking after the God that set them free from Egypt. How many of you have been freed up from Egypt? Can I see your hands? That means you've been born again. You're free from that first birth. You're free from the first generation that brought you into this world. You're free from that generation that brought you into this world through your natural parents. That generation is one that you're free from. Can I hear another healthy amen? Oh, glory to God. I'm glad that we've got this understanding that that first generation, that first generation got out of the land of Egypt. Amen? But thank God for the second generation. Thank God for the second generation. Why? Everything's in type and shadows in the Old Testament for the New Testament. Why would he say the first generation won't enter in, but the second generation, I'll take them in? You know why? It's representative of the new birth. Did you know when you get saved and you come out of Egypt? Remember I said you might have a little Egypt still in you. But once you come out of that land, whoo, did you know that God's going to take you someplace? Is anybody else going anywhere around here? Well, we're not going to Canaan. That's obvious. But Canaan is a type of the Spirit-filled life. And that's where we're headed. We're headed to the ultimate victory that God has for our life. Amen? If you're not headed for the ultimate victory that God has got for your life, you've got a problem. And I'll tell you what it is in just a minute. But Joshua and Caleb said, don't rebel against the will of God. Let's go on in there. Well, God had already given them instructions by His Word. He says, go on in there and take the land. And God never said, take the land and I hope you do it. He said, take the land that I've given you. We have a lot of Christians. They want to live in the wilderness. God doesn't want you to live in the wilderness. He wants you to live in the abundant life by crossing Jordan and make a decision to do what He tells you to do. Oh, glory to God. Now, in Joshua chapter 6, He says to Joshua, it said, the captain of the Lord's host stood there with sword drawn. And as Joshua approached, he said, take your shoes off. The ground you are standing on is holy ground. That told you that the Christ pre-incarnate took on the form of an angel. It was Christ because angels are not allowed to be in the place of deity, only deity. So Christ took on the form of an angel and he stood there in Joshua's midst. And Joshua, when he approached, he said, take your shoes off. I want to let you know you're standing in the presence of the Lord as a captain of God's army. And so Joshua took his shoes off and got his present. And Joshua wanted one thing clear. He's got to cross Jordan now with the second generation. Why? Because the first generation, they went in and they spied out the land. And they said, oh, we be free. We really little grasshopper. And finally God said, okay, according to your own voice, 40 days I allowed that stupidity to walk into that land. And check it out. It didn't mean a hill of beans to me what you saw in there. I'm still the one that's got to do the work. So therefore, 40 years you'll walk in the desert for every day that you spied out the land, and your carcass will dry up and wither in complacency. But I got a generation that's going to go in and take the land. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so God, He knew that the nation of Israel forgot how He delivered them. You know, a lot of us, when we get complacent, we forget what we're delivered from. And so God says, now how to bring them in here? I know how to bring them in here. I'm going to bring them in through the most fierce, the most awesome, the most hugest, the most non-impregnable nation they can possibly face. I'm going to send them in through by the way of Jericho, and I'm not even going to allow them to do anything but follow my instructions, and I'm going to do the work. How many of you would agree that He would get their attention? So, they go up and they look at Jericho. And Joshua, when he looked at Jericho, you know what he could say? The only thing that he could put in his thinking is, see Jericho, Joshua. Bing! I see it. This city was so huge, so impregnable, that they literally had chariot races on the wall. They would go around the wall in chariot. This city was virtually impossible to pregnate. Matter of fact, this city was so powerful that it was the one that elected to keep all the inhabitants that did not belong coming in. Huh? Hello? Now, here's the thing. The second generation had to follow the word of the Lord. That's all they had. The first generation, all they followed was miracles. This second generation, the miracles were going to follow them. You know what the second generation? Generation of the new birth. The miracles are to follow you. You're to go everywhere and preach the word with signs to follow. Right. Me being a born-again believer. All I got to do is receive instructions from the Lord and follow it through. Why? Because within my own self, I can't do a thing about it. Why? Because God didn't call me to fulfill His plan in my life according to my flesh. He doesn't want me to view it no more. It's according to what God is in me that I will get anything done. And so, we know the story. He says, what do you want me to do, Lord, when I go and take Jericho? And God says, see, I have given it to you. See, I have given it to you. You know, God told many of you to see what I've given you, and some of you are still blind as a bat. You can't see anything but what you can see from your natural plane. And God said to Joshua, see, I have given you the land. He was talking to the right guy. He could see that Jericho belonged to him. Okay, God. Woo! Now, God is going to make an example of the power that He's going to exert over taking this land apart from them. You know what God did to turn the early church around? He picked the one that was destroying it. Why did He pick little Paul? Why? Because he was the one least likely to be a candidate for God. And God takes that which is least to confound that which is mighty. And if you keep looking at yourself to get anything done for God, guess what? You're looking at the least. Well, if you're looking at the least, that qualifies you to get something done.
Amen.
Right. So Joshua says, yeah, wow, no problem, God. I can see that you've given this Jericho. Now how's this going to get done? God says, oh, I'm kind of glad you asked that. He says, I want you to go on up, and I don't want not one of your people. I want their mouths zipped shut. I don't want them to say one word. And I want to get them up and to encircle Jericho. And I want the praisers and the worshipers and everything to go forward and lead them. And I want you to stay out of bow shot realm. In other words, stay out of where bow shot. In other words, if they went to shoot an arrow at you, it wouldn't reach you. I want you to encircle Jericho. And I want you to walk around it and not open your mouth. And I want you, at the end of the day, go back to Gilgal and make sure that you circumcise all the newly born in the land. What did that mean, newly born in the land, circumcised? Circumcision signifies a cutting away of the flesh. Gilgal represents circle. It means God's word, what will last for eternity. They had to go back to Gilgal after the first day of walking around the city, go back to Gilgal and confess the word of God. Fathers, stepmothers, relatives, any enemies, whatever, they were sitting there, children, and confessing God's word. And then they circumcise the newly born. And as big as the nation of Israel was, there was newly born every day. And what did they have to do? Go back out and walk around Jericho. Why? It's the enemy of the camp. But oh, I like little Rahab. She said, I'm going to let you spies in on something, which the nine didn't catch the revelation. That Rahab gave away the inhabitants of Canaan's secret. For the inhabitants of Canaan feared for your entrance because of your God. Praise grasshoppers. You know, some of you, the devil barks orders at you, and you obey him. Why? We don't want to speak against the devil. He might rip us a new one. So what'd they do? Now, here's Joshua's, probably his response from the natural. Okay, God, now what you're going to do if you've given me Jericho, you're going to, bolts of lightning is going to come down like Sodom and Gomorrah. Wipe them out, the whole thing. Well, we knew that Sodom and Gomorrah didn't exist then, but anyway. Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to come down with lightning rods and it's all going to, and just we just circle around it? And, no. It's not going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I just want you to do me. Keep your mouth shut. And at the last day, shout unto God. And then lead a triumphal worship. Okay, what else you going to do? Just do that. Can you give me a guarantee these suckers are going down at your hand? Just do that. March around, keep your mouth shut. Every day for 7 days, and at the seventh day, shout unto me and sing praise and worship. Is that it? Okay, that's not bad. Now, what's your part? Lightning rods out of heaven, explosions. God didn't tell him nothing. Matter of fact, God had his way about it. Joshua, why don't you shut up and just watch? Yeah. You know, a lot of times reasoning starts talking out of our soul when God tells us to do something. We sit there, and then all of a sudden reasoning kicks in, and here's God, and here's reasoning. And we turn around, and God says, do this, and we go, oh. And reasoning says, don't do that. That's a, don't do that. All right. So what do? They get up, and I want you to catch the picture. They start marching around this city. Out of bow range. And here, I'm going to portray these guys up on the tower. We're ready. Here they come. They're coming. Shriek. Here they come. Hey, wait a minute. You got to get a little closer. Come on. Get a little closer. Oh, sucker. Ching. Yolel. Thump. Right where the nation of Israel is walking. Not saying a word. This one will make it. Not a word. And can you imagine how you are? One day of that. You know, that's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. But what about the guys in the towers, on the walls? Hey, they're not saying anything. They're not doing nothing. Hey! Ain't you guys got anything to say? They ain't got nothing to say. They're just walking around. What do they expect to do? A little dust get to us? A little dust get to us? Hey, you guys are a bunch of ignoramuses! Yeah. Let's call him another name. Hey, you blah, blah, blah. Ooh, take that one. Your God ain't God. Hey, and you think you go create a little dust and get us sugar? No, let's throw a party. Hallelujah. And every day they go out and they walk around for 6 days. Can you imagine the inhabitants of Jericho? I better not say that. By the time the sixth day comes, they're probably on that tower. And then comes the seventh day. Whew. And I can imagine some of the Israelites in there thinking, boy, I'd like to open my mouth right now. Joshua, what are you doing? This is the most dumbest thing. Listen to these guys. I want to take them out. Oh, they're ridiculing us. They're mocking us. They're saying, what can God do? Oh, I hope my shout on the seventh day works. Boy, I've got a lot to shout about. After listening to their fat mouths for 6 days, I got a lot to shout about. But God said, Joshua, have them keep their mouth shut. Now, for the sake of those that are listening in, next week we'll continue on with a message of what victory really means to your life from where you're at. Hallelujah. So if you heard this program today, make sure that you tune in next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, Kenny, you can edit that. But I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. Amen. So we'll just continue on in this message because I want to finish something that God wants me to put on you. Amen. Okay, here goes. So the seventh day, after walking all day, they shout. And all of a sudden, these guys in this, these walls and everything, and I mean, can you imagine a horrendous shout? I bet you God figured out mathematically how to bring that wall down by their shout. They probably shouted so hard that every inhabitant of Joshua heard it from their tone, and the Jew heard it from his level of tone, and I bet you they had an amplification problem with the eardrums. I can imagine all the inhabitants of the Canaan land of Joshua, all their eardrums blew out right at the time the wall went down. Shawomp! Can you imagine the sight that would have been? How many of you would have liked to have been there? Jaw-blam! The whole thing, huh? You just want a replay, and we're going to get a replay from what Rick Joyner says anyway. What happened? You know, there's something to be learned of this. Who are you for, says Joshua? Are you for them or for us? And he said, nay, I'm for truth.
That's right. Amen.
That's how you get anything done. Thy word is truth. And I've learned something about how God opened the doorway for the nation of Israel to have confidence in entering into the fullness of what God has. Number one, you got to get rid of your flesh. Why? Because that first generation that you were born of, that God set you out of the land of Egypt, you'll not get anywhere with God coming out of Egypt and making a decision. You're not going to go for God's best. You're just going to wander in the wilderness. Guess what? God will just sit there and take care of you, make sure that your shoes don't wear out. He'll do all that nice little stuff, but you're too vulnerable to sin. You're too vulnerable for deception. And that's what happened that first generation. And God said, I'm just going to wait until they're all dead. And I'm going to take the second generation and move on in. And that means the new birth. You see, you came out of that first lifestyle, Egypt. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to walk around in your flesh with God, you ain't going to go nowhere. You're just going to go drop dead in the wilderness. Hallelujah. But God says the second generation, which means the type of the new birth, there's enough in you to enter on into the fullness of God, and you don't have to worry about what your flesh likes or don't like. Hallelujah. You just go ahead and let that sucker obey you and make the tune of God. Hallelujah. And so, what had happened is, but we're learning some valuable things about this incident. Number one, that you've got to have an understanding in your walk with God. Number one is, you must have a clear vision where you're going in Him. And you might as well write this down, because this is the order of the day. You must have a clear vision in where you're going in Him. Most Christians have forgot where you're going in Him and have turned around and you've walked back into the wilderness area and you're marching around that desert and wanting to follow the signs rather than you doing something by going where God wants you to go in Him and having clear vision. Joshua would never have taken Jericho if God, first of all, hadn't told him, "See, I have given you Jericho." Now, why would he tell him that? Well, I'll tell you what. He wanted to put something in Joshua's thinking. Here it is. Getting back to zero is not a positive thing. Getting back to zero. We've got Christians, they have made mistakes, and now they're so mistake-ridden, they can't do anything in God because they're so tied up. Even financially. When that devil spoke in that door that Wednesday night here a couple Wednesday nights ago, one thing he said, "I've taken your leaders out because of their occupation." Jobs. One of the biggest hindrances to the kingdom of God in your life. Thank God, he's sitting up barking orders like he's going to run my church. I got news for him. He's never going to come back in here and bark orders at me ever again. Now, that's the third time I've seen into a demonic realm. But I don't like it. Zero vision in God is a never-ending cycle. Zero vision in God is a never-ending cycle. Listen, where you're at is probably not where you're going. Where you're at should not be where you're going. Most people get to the Jordan River and that's it. Well, that's not where you're going. You're going into the fullness of what God has for you. I hope you have that revelation. I'm going to tell you something. Frustration and depression is people who are not planning, who are planning. Frustration and depression are people who are planning on staying where they're at. I'll tell you what, the devil comes to me and he wants to depress me and get me frustrated. I have to get alone with God and get them tongues going and shake it out of me and say, "Hey, listen, I'm not planning on staying here. I'm still moving forward." Why, you shut your mouth, devil. I ain't standing still. I'm moving forward. What makes you think I'm going to stand here and put up with you? You're just nothing but Jericho. I'll just shut my mouth and walk around you, and the seventh time I'll shout a praise unto God and watch God take you down, you devil. That's not where I'm planning on going. Zero is not success. Christians, they get in debt and they say, "If I just get back to zero, I'll be okay." What kind of mentality is that? You want to go beyond zero with God. Why? He has a big kingdom to finance. Hallelujah. Quitters just get by. Campers go nowhere in God. And I like what this one guy said. Climbers go higher in their God. Higher. For him in increase. See, they camped in the wilderness. They camped in the wilderness. Matter of fact, the second generation, they were going in there, they were starting to take the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, and they're starting. And you know what they did? They went and camped in between Bethel and Ai. You know what Bethel is? House of God. You know what Ai is? It's called Heap of Ruin. And it says they camped in between the two. Hey, how many of you are camping in between the two? Ai, heap of ruin, is a sign of flesh. Bethel, house of God, is a sign of spirituality. The nation, somehow, as they were infiltrating the Canaan, they got complacent, they got indifferent, and decided to camp between the two. And you know what their statement was? Ai. How many inhabitants are in Ai? Oh, just 1,200, 2,000, somewhere around. We can sneeze on them, they're gone. Problem was, they were camping between Bethel and Ai. If you think you're going to take rule over your flesh by camping in it, I got news for you. The most least likely little problem in your life is not the devil, is not God, it's you. You the problem. Oh, I just don't know why God doesn't do anything. Well, what kind of a mentality is that? If he told Joshua, "You got to do something. If you don't do something, nothing will get done." What if God told him that? "Joshua, if you don't do anything, nothing will get done." What kind of God would that be? Well, the one he is. "Joshua, if you don't do what I tell you to do, it won't get done." Same God today. You might as well sit and look at yourself. "Am I camped between Bethel and Ai?" Well, go after Ai on your flesh. Go after it. It's right there. You won't win. Out of 5 years of campaigning, they lost 39 people. And that's when they acted on their flesh. You lose when you camp. You lose. You snooze. You lose. I guess that's how you say it. I want to be a climber. I want a hunger for me to increase. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to be churched. I don't want to be churched. You should not want to be churched. So the thing we have to learn is, what is your adversary's level? Is your adversary bigger in you than God in you? You know, a lot of us don't recognize the adversary in us. When the word was sown in you, did he take it out of you? No. Mark 4:14 says, the sower soweth the word, and Satan cometh immediately to take that out of you. How? Some of you have turned to camp in the wilderness. You've received the word with joy, but you keep a hold of your stony old heart. You never change in your thinking. Therefore, all Satan has to do is bring affliction or persecution, and you get offended from entering into God's best. A little opposition. You want to quit. Some of you young people, you get going in God, you get fired up, you go to school, and the devil opens his mouth. You're not one of them God freaks, are you? Oh my gosh, my peers are looking at me. No, you turn around, get in their face, and say, hey man, you want to get saved, brother? Hurrah, kandara chada. I love my testimony. When I was in sixth grade, my teacher wrote me a letter to my house telling me my mother has got to do something with me. I'm too fanatical for a young kid in God. That was the greatest honor. I look back. I wish I had kept that letter that was written to me so I could look at that letter and say, yes, amen, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to be known as nuts for God my whole life. I don't want people looking at me, where is he? Oh, he's somewhere, we don't know. Some never deal with reasonings that speak against God's word in your soul. It is impossible for you to believe that he is, Hebrews 11:6. He is the sum total of all he says he is. Therefore, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, a lot of you come out and say, oh, yeah, I believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But the trouble is, they're not diligently seeking God. So therefore, he is not the sum total of all that they exist in. Some have stopped seeking him. How? Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of money, the lust of other things entering in, and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Listen, it says the devil comes in immediately. But notice, it's up to the guy for the devil to take out. It's not up to the devil to take him out, it's up to you. How does Satan get the power to choke the life or squeeze a little out of us at a time? It's not because these things come into our life, it's because he capitalized on what we let him do in us. I'm going to give you seven things I want you to quickly write down that's going to help you take a look at some things that'll change your direction even today. If you're sitting there and I caught you as a wilderness walker, these 7 points are very critical. Faith cometh by hearing. The first thing you got to deal with is how you hear. You know what that demonic power told me? You know what came out of his mouth? Here's what he told me. He says, if you don't shut your mouth, he says, I'm not going to quit taking those ears away from you. He said, I'm going to get in and take as many as your leaders out by hearing your voice as I possibly can. That's what he told me. He says, I want to get your leaders' ears away from your voice. And you know what he said? Take a look around and watch the leaders you got in service tonight. I looked around and I couldn't hardly find any of my leaders. I went into shock. You know why he said that? It was an indictment against me, not my leaders. Are you following me? He says, where are they? Well, I told him, finally, I just said, you guys were in the service. I walked over out in that door. I said, you get out of my church. This is a house of God, not your church. Who do you think you are? And if I want to deal with my leaders, I'll deal with them. You just get out of here. You're not going to be running this church. Boy, I was glad that happened, man. I'm glad that he showed up so I know where to hit him. Number one, believe God in you is good. Believe God in you is good. Well, this is number two. Number one is put a good measure on your hearing. I'm not talking about just your own devoted time. I'm talking about being in church and listening to the Word at every opportunity. Some of the greatest revelation I've got lately is on sin, the mystery of sin, and love. Powerful understanding of those two. How many of you have been in the service when I've been teaching on that? You've got to stay on top. You've got to continue to progress. If I've got to, you've got to. There ain't no big ifs and little me's. We're all together in this thing. We're all going to the same place. Why? We all got to live out eternity together. So number one, you've got to watch how you're hearing. Number two, believe God in you is good. Number three, believe that life can be good. Believe that this life can be good. Number four, this is a biggie. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. See, that's the one number one thing that the devil doesn't want you to do is believe in yourself in God. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to think you're the problem or God would do more. Believe God in you. Believe in yourself. Number five, take steps of faith. Be a climber. Take steps of faith. Little steps of faith. Little steps of faith. Number six, failure is not final. Some of you have failed. It's not final. It's when you quit breathing that's over. As long as you're breathing, it's not final. It's not final. Number seven, stay at peace and learn to create an atmosphere around you. Some believers live in fear. Make a decision. You're going to live in peace. Obstacles will come your way all the time. But the nation of Israel was commanded to stay at peace, even though they faced the most hardest obstacles on planet Earth. Stay at peace. Know that God sanctified you so you can do that. Now, if you still run around with your mistakes, still run around with the enemy, then you're not going to have peace. But do what God tells you. Enter in and then force yourself into a state of peace. Hallelujah. And last, remove the victim mentality. It changes nothing. In fact, it makes things worse. Boldness is the result of seeing the victory. See, I have given thee, Jericho. You guys got it? God give you the enemy for bread for you. You got to see it. You don't understand what I've gone through. Hey, I could care. Everything is naked and open in the sight of Him whom we have to do. It could care less what you see. If you're looking according to your flesh, you've got problems. You got to turn and do like Rahab said. It isn't you, Jew, that we're concerned. It's the one behind you that we're concerned about. The devil can come at you and stop you in your flesh because you know only God according to your flesh. You're dead in the water. You got to start believing what God says you are in Him. Did you get something here today? Hallelujah. 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 Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil comes with his marching orders. That's when we turn and we march his orders right out of here. Amen. He's not running my church. You know who's running my church? My leaders are. You know who's running my church? I am. You know who's running this church? God's behind all of my leaders and us. God's behind us. We're running the church under Him, praise God. So we can boldly say, devil, you don't come in here and bark your orders and tell me how you're going to run this church. We're going to tell you how we're going to run our church. My leaders are fine. My assistants are fine. My staff's fine. You're the one with the problem. You don't know what not to say. Because when you start saying something, it means it's because it's so in us that we are victors in God. Yeah. When the devil says one thing, I can pretty well guarantee it's the opposite. He's a liar. And he fosters everything in a lie. I don't know about you guys. The only way he can take us out is for us to allow him to stop us. See Jericho? See it? Yeah. I've given it. You turn to your soul will tell you anything. Why? It has a voice of the enemy in it. Why? It's just nothing but a bunch of wilderness walking voices. Father, I thank you for your word here this morning. And as we get ready to close this service, Father, Father, I just pray that your people will get a hold of this message and get it into their understanding. Hey, we're not called to be wilderness walkers. We're not called to where it's dry and there is no life. We're called to go in and take the camp of our enemy and remove him from his throne of power and to just walk in and just annihilate his position. I have good men and good women behind me to do that, and we're going to do it. I don't care what the devil has to say. I am only interested in what God has to say in us. Hallelujah, as leaders. Hallelujah. You big mouth lying devil, you. You show up at my door again, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. I'll call all my leaders and let them get a hold of you. Hora shakarata. Hora lion devil. Horoshata.